Okay, everyone. So I have a special treat. Miss Kathy is not here today, and we are doing our first ever interview. I thought long and hard about, do I want to do interviews? If I'm going to do interviews, what would be the best thing that my listeners would want to hear? And I picked a winner for number one, and it's going to be Miss Jill Angie. So let me tell you a little bit about how Jill and I met and her background. We both went to the Life Coach School. She was way further down the road than me when I met her. She had already went through coach training. She became a master weight loss and life coach, and she has an amazing, she has a book, and I love her concept because it ties beautifully into everything that we do here at Losing 100 Pounds, which is she has the podcast called Not Your Average Runner. And for those of you who follow me, you know that my story starts with, I was really overweight. I was 250 pounds. Crying on my couch at the just bottom of the barrel sadness. And one of the things that I had always wanted to be able to do my entire life was just be an athlete. And I didn't know what I was going to do to lose the weight, but I knew for sure that it was going to start with just moving more because that was the place that I felt like I could start. I wasn't ready to give up my food. I wasn't ready to give up anything other than I was willing to get up off the couch. So went to the gym, started with the walking, and that turned into overtime. I think, I'm scheduled to do a half marathon this fall, which Jill will find funny because I've done almost 60 of these bad boys, and I swear to God, of the last one, was never doing another one. And decided to do the Vegas half marathon again with one of my clients who has a group of people who were trying to get off the couch and wanted someone to come and speak about how they got off the couch and changed their life. So I was like, okay, well, if I'm going to be there, I'm going to run the race anyway. So that's what I'm doing. And then I've just done marathons and stuff. And so I wanted Jill to come on today because so many of you are sitting around thinking that your weight is your big excuse as to why you're not doing things in life and that your weight no longer has to be an excuse. And Jill's pretty much an expert on this and can speak to this. So I'm going to welcome Jill. You want to say hello to all of the listeners?
Hello, listeners. It's so exciting to be on the other side of the podcast because usually I'm the one listening to you talk. So I'm really excited.
It's funny to me to not have Kathy in the room. I'm just like, oh my gosh, here I am talking to somebody completely different. How do we even do this? So it'll be a fun podcast. One of the things I love about Jill and I is that, so since we've met through the Life Coach School and stuff, we've actually spent a lot of time together. When I was going through master coach training, Jill was our master coach. She was kind of like our mentor, kind of blazed the trail for us. And as I've gotten to know her, we are so much alike. We're both funny. We can both talk all day long. We both like to cuss. So we have all the good things in common. So tell us about how you got started with running and how you kind of got into all the things that you do to help women.
So it's funny because it's almost the opposite of your story. So you decided you were going to be an athlete no matter what, mm-hmm. and you started doing that and doing whatever you could. And I didn't really have this vision of myself being an athlete. I was just like, I'm going to run to lose weight. Mm. I had been sort of an athlete in high school. I guess I played tennis but I was never the best on the team or anything like that. I just sort of showed up and had fun with it and really wasn't very competitive. So when I started running, I think it was like my late 20s. It's literally been over 20 years now. It was a way to lose weight. And I was just like, okay, I've got it. Like, this is the best way to burn calories. And I had that whole mentality yes. that we all know doesn't work of like, I'm going to count every single calorie and then I'm going to exercise them all off. And that was not the way to love running. It was just awful. And so I did that for a while and I really didn't lose any weight. And I, got really frustrated with myself, but I actually noticed that I started to be in a better mood when I would run. And I felt better about myself without anything else changing. And so I think, despite myself, I sort of fell in love with it.
Yeah.
But I never really saw myself as like, oh, I'm going to be an athlete. I was just like, oh, this is just this thing that I do. And I started to realize I didn't need to be skinny to do it. And that that was very freeing to realize like, oh, I could do this at any weight.
Right.
And so that's sort of where it started for me.
Well, I think that's really important because I think, you know, I think as women, when it comes to when you've had a weight, like, were you overweight in high school and stuff?
So I thought I was overweight, but I just dug out my senior year tennis skirt and it had a 26 inch waist. It now fits my thigh.
Right. Okay.
Well, so, no, I was not.
Okay. Well, that's so funny because like I have been overweight all my life, but there were like blips in my high school history where I think I weighed like 160 or something. And I just remember back then I might as well have weighed 300 pounds. I mean, you know, like when you're in high school, but I was always overweight. So I was just curious if you'd always had a weight problem or if this was just like it was later onset or whatever. But the reason why I mention it is because I think what happens is that we all have this idea that we have to, not all of us, but a lot of us, that when we're overweight, we have to delay our dreams. Like we can't have good things happen or we can't put ourselves out to the world. We can't try new things until we've lost that weight, as mm-hmm. if it is like it's a rule or something. And it's just not. And I know you're really good about speaking to that because I know a lot of my listeners are sitting around overweight and waiting for magic to happen with their weight so that they can actually pursue their dreams. So what do you think, what do you tell people when they think they're just too big to run?
So I think, I mean, it depends on why they think that. Mm-hmm. Most often they think that because they see other people running who are not overweight, other people right. running who are like a size 4 or a size 6. And so they have a thought either, I need to be thin to be a runner because that's who's on the cover of Runner's World magazine. That's who I see, you know, out and about. Or they think, if I start running, other people will make fun of me or they will laugh at me or they will tell me I'm going to ruin my knees or they will tell me, you know, you have no business doing this. So I think a lot of it is just this perception that other people are going to have an opinion about our running. And so I usually right. you know, just say like, hey, this, you know, when we're super concerned about what other people are thinking about us, we're sort of outsourcing our emotions and we're outsourcing right. our dreams to people who are completely unqualified
right.
to manage them. Because really the only person that can do that is us. And so I think that's most often why people decide they can't run until they're thinner is because of what they think other people might think.
When I always tell my girls too, it's like, they are going to have those opinions for exactly. like, I mean, I, you know, finally have lost my weight and I swear to God, my mom tells me on a daily basis, you need to quit doing that running. You're going to ruin your knees. I mean, and God love my mom. She's like ate up with arthritis. She's had weight problems all her life and stuff. I get where she's coming from, but that doesn't mean it's mm-hmm. right for me. And I think that a lot of my clients put a lot of, like, they're going to hear from their doctors, you know, you're going to tear up your knees. And I don't know where you stand on this, but here's my opinion. I think that if you are going to start running because you want to and because it is something that's exciting, you also owe it to yourself to start in the right way.
Yeah, for sure.
And not just do it like, well, I know my thin friend runs like a 10-minute mile and she can run for 4 hours, so that must mean I should be able to do it too.
Exactly.
I watch a lot of my girls try to start running and get way ahead of where they're at, and then they mm-hmm. apply a lot of shame because of where mm-hmm. they have to start. So when somebody wants to start running, what is your, like, let's say you've got 100 pounds to lose like I did, and I'm like, hey, Jill, I'm going to start running. What is your best advice to someone like me outside of get over other people's opinions? That's gonna be number one. Like, drop the rest of that shit.
Yeah, that is definitely number one. But I would say start out really slow just so you can see, you know, like, first of all, if you start, you know, if you start driving, if you like, I know it doesn't apply anymore because so my dad used to work in at General Motors and he was all about designing carburetors. And then right around the time he retired, they phased them out. And so my carburetor analogy doesn't really apply anymore, but I'm going to use it anyway.
That's all so right. Most of us are in our 40s anyway. We're all
right,
know.
We all remember, right? So remember like when you first started driving and you'd get in the car and you couldn't just like get in the car and like now you can turn the key and just back the car up and go, but you used to have to let it run and idle for a while. So the engine would warm up. And if you didn't warm up the engine, like you were in for problems. And I think like that's a great analogy for running because especially if you've been sitting on the couch for months or years, right? You're like a car that's been sitting overnight in 0 degree weather. Like you can't just start it up and go. So I like to say warm your body up for running. First of all, always start a run with 5 minute walking, 5 minutes of walking at least, or maybe even 10 minutes. And then you're going to do intervals. So 20 seconds of a jog and then maybe a minute to a minute and a half of walking. And then you're just going to do that over and over and over again, maybe 10 times. And that's your first run. Yeah. And so what happens is then your body starts to get used to running, but you're not overwhelming it.
Right.
You're not gonna injure it because, you know, like you're pushing too hard. And so over time, that'll get easier and easier. And then you can make the running portion longer, or you can shorten up the walking portion so that you're continually progressing and you'll get faster. You'll be able to go farther. But expecting that you need to do a 5K within 3 weeks of starting to run it's pretty unrealistic for most people.
Right. I think that I notice a lot of my girls, they apply very unrealistic expectations on themselves because they're thinking so far, like they're thinking about where they want to be instead of where they are.
Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to the mindset of, you know, being like, not even just okay with where you are, but really choosing to be confident about where you are? Because I swear that I think this is going to be weight loss, like game changer for everyone. Mm-hmm. The thing I've noticed, and this transcends like running, it like a new job, everything. People get so caught up in where they want to be that they miss out on what they can be doing right now. And yeah. How do you drop the shame around that? How do you drop the judgment and the it's not enough? Because like I can hear listeners right now saying, but Jill, if I only run 20 seconds, I can't call myself a runner.
Yeah, I hear you. And I would say to all of them, all right, stop that right now. Because if you run, you are a runner. There are no exceptions to that.
Right. That's bullshit. Move on.
Right. But I guess like what I usually tell people is just stop being such an asshole to yourself.
Yes.
Like that's it. I was having this conversation with a client the other day who was very focused on where she used to be 7 years ago, which was, you know, she was, believe it or not, she was doing Ironman triathlons. And then she was on a call with me and talking about how far she had fallen and, you know, how like she just wasn't the person that she used to be. And so, yeah, she was looking to where she wanted to be, which was back where she was 7 years ago. And it was just this, like she was spending so much time disagreeing with where she was in the moment. And right. Like she was just instead, her thought was, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be this way. I should be different than I am. And I think that's at the root of all of it, whether it's I should be farther along or I shouldn't have, you know, let myself go so much, whatever it is, the root of it is believing you should be different than you are.
Right.
And I think that's the belief that needs to be changed. And so I think what I tell my clients is like, let's just be where we're at instead of like, let's stop arguing with reality because like when you have a toddler, right? The toddler will argue with reality and you're like, no, just stop it. Right.
Right.
You just move on. But we, for some reason, we allow ourselves to do that all the time. So that is the first step.
Yeah. And when you're arguing with reality, guess what you're not doing? Doing something about your running, doing something about your weight. Like you're not doing anything other than spinning your emotional wheels out. And I think the other detrimental aspect to that is that the more you argue and convince yourself you should be somewhere else, you will look for every ounce of evidence to find that to be true. Like you will know if somebody, let's say you're running down the street and one person, you happen to get in their periphery and you notice them give a side eye, they might not even be looking at you, but in your mind, see, they think I shouldn't be a runner. I mean, it's just like we will find all kinds of proof for it. So it's like, I think when it comes to all that bullshit mentality, we have to just at some point say, like, I know intellectually this is so unproductive. So if I'm not willing to believe something new, I am willing to quit telling myself this bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, you got to start someplace.
Yeah. Well, I like to say, like, we only have so many thoughts to spend in a day, right? I don't know if it's like 50,000 thoughts that we have. Like, that's what Google tells me. And
that's what Google says. It must be true.
I know, right? So for most people, like 70% of those thoughts are negative. And so if you were to look at it, instead of 50,000 thoughts, if you had $50,000 to spend every day, would you want to spend $35,000 on something that is not going to get you forward?
Right.
Not going to move you to where you want to be. Like, no, you wouldn't. But we do that with our brains all the time.
Right.
So like, if you literally think of your thoughts as a precious resource,
yes,
you're going to want to spend them in a way that's going to help you instead of like just spending them all on shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that this is the thing I think about when it comes to starting to run, especially like, gosh, you know, if you're overweight and you've been living that overweight lifestyle for a while, you know, we tend to be so hard on ourselves. You know, we just, it's almost like we go out of our way to do it. And there's nothing like doing something that's very physically challenging to bring up a lot of bullshit in our mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like an invitation. But one of the things that I think is important is to remember is that when all that comes up, it's good. It's like good for you. I was actually telling someone the other day that I liked doing yoga. Somebody was talking about yoga in our tribe and hot yoga. And she was commenting that the reason why she didn't like it is because she was like, I just don't get it. I go in there, I'm doing the yoga, and I'm thinking about a thousand things. I'm not having that Zen experience and all this other stuff. And I said, you know, that's why I like yoga, because it is the one time that I'm sitting around clearly able to hear where my thoughts are going.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even realize I thought about all this stuff. And I think when you do something like running too, it allows, like, it's going to like make you vomit all the negativity that you might have in there, but it allows you to start doing something with it.
Yeah.
While also learning to become a runner on top of it.
There's
a payoff for it.
It is true though. You do, especially, I mean, I think this is why so many people say, oh, I can't run without music or I can't run without a podcast in my head. It's because if I do those things, I'll have to listen to my own mind chatter.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear. It's like, I always say it's like you're running down the road and every mean girl from high school is like lined up along the side, just shouting shit at you. Right.
Right.
That's what it's like.
Do you watch the Game of Thrones at all?
Oh yes.
Do you remember when Cersei had to do the shame walk?
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's like, that's what I felt like the first few times I went to the gym, as if there was somebody ringing a bell in the background going, shame, shame, because that's what my brain was doing.
Right.
So I wanted to ask you about this because like we talked about the best advice for starting in terms of like actual, like, what do you do? But Let's just imagine that most of my girls are going to be starting, and that's where they're going to be starting, with the big shame monkey on their back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is your best advice for them in terms of, you know, doing it anyway? Because everybody knows my big thing is, you know, well, we're going to do this anyway. Like, I don't care how bad it hurts. This is just what we do. But do you have anything that you personally use or that you have your clients use that helps them, I guess, get that nun off your back that's ringing the bell?
I mean, I think we just talk about why they feel ashamed, and then we sort of like pull it apart. Like, okay, you feel ashamed because why? Because you feel like you shouldn't be in this place. And then, of course, we talk about, well, but you are in this place. So, like, it's part of the arguing with reality. And then I think the most poignant or the most powerful way to look at it is, if this was your best friend and she had gained a bunch of weight, or she was wanting to start running but feeling like she was too fat to do it or whatever, if this was your best friend, would you say to her, you should be ashamed of yourself?
Right.
You would never say those things. So it really, it just comes back to stop being an asshole to yourself and like treat yourself with the respect that you would give somebody else.
Well, and I love the idea of, you know, like taking it outside of you for a second. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's always nice when we talk about like, well, be your own best friend and stuff. But I don't want people to just hear that and be like, oh, that's nice. But I, you know, I've been having mean girl thinking for so long. That's just not me. Like literally write it down. Like write the letter to yourself. In fact, I had a client today that I was talking to, and one of the exercises I gave her that could be helpful is, you know, writing a letter to yourself that says, I know the person you want to become. Mm-hmm. And here's all the ways, here's all the reasons why you do deserve to do it now. And, you know, and like apologizing for all the times you didn't believe in her that you're choosing now to believe in her. Mm-hmm. But like the physical writing down of the process of it, to make it real.
Yeah.
And I've yet to see someone who beats themselves up to be able to do that letter without bawling their eyes out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Because yeah, if you think about it, if you were writing that letter to somebody else, not necessarily your future self, but somebody else, and it was a heartfelt apology for like, hey, I treated you badly and I'm really sorry. I'm going to do better.
Yeah.
Right. Like
you. And here's how I'm going to start doing better for you.
I love that.
I do too. It was funny because this person I was coaching this morning had the same kind of issue. It wasn't around running, but it was around being ashamed of how she had let herself go. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I said, you got to address that shit now.
Yeah,
like, you don't wait until you've lost your weight, because guess what? You'll still hate the old version of you, and you're going to have lost all your weight and spend time hating the years that you weren't where you want to be. So I think it's the same thing with running. It's like, yeah. You know, to me, running is hard enough just on the physical side. You know, it's not as if, like I ran yesterday and it felt like ass. I mean, just complete ass. You know, just know this, everyone. It will always feel like ass at some point. There will be some days you'll be like, I'm a gazelle. Look at me go. And then some days you'll be like, I think I'm dragging a Brock behind me.
Yeah, it's true.
It's one of those things where it's like you're just going to have ups and downs throughout the process and you accept them. So, speaking of, one question I wanted to make sure that I asked was, is it normal? So, like when we first start, we're usually very excited. We get a shiny new plan. We're like, oh boy, look, you know, downloaded this or bought this or something. We start the process and it's great. And then there's like a time where it just isn't so great. It's like the newness is wearing off. What do you tell your people when the newness of running is wearing off, but they really want to be a lifetime runner? How do they transition from not being exciting anymore to just being a part of life?
Yeah. Well, first of all, exciting is a feeling that we generate with our thoughts. And mm-hmm. so when we first start out, it's exciting because we're thinking to ourselves, oh my gosh, there's like, I'm doing it. I'm a runner. Like there's so much possibility for me here. And we have this, we envision that it's the running that's giving us that feeling, right? When right. really it's just our thoughts about it. So I like to tell people like, hey, first of all, that you're going to have shitty runs. There's going to be days when running feels like ass, and you're going to be tempted on those days to think you're no longer cut out to be a runner. This isn't working. You're going to think all kinds of terrible thoughts. You're going to think something's gone horribly wrong because, hey, it was so fun and easy for the past 3 weeks, and now suddenly it feels like ass. So first of all, I just say, let's just expect it. Right? Like when you drive to work every day, you just assume there's going to be days when there's more traffic than others, and you don't stop at a traffic light and say, fuck, like,
right. I better just turn around now.
Right. So I just say, like, let's just expect it, first of all. And then the second thing is, I'm a big fan of setting goals and then just working towards achieving them, right? And it might be running your first 5K. It might be running your first half marathon. It might just be like, hey, I'm setting a goal to run a mile without stopping, or whatever it is, right. Like work towards achieving those goals and always have something that you're working on. That's a great way to keep yourself excited and keep it new, or to do like fun, different kinds of races, like a color run or a tough mudder.
Don't say it with vomit in your mouth.
I've done one and only one. And actually it wasn't a tough mudder. It was a different one. And I had no objection to, the experience itself. It was the days it took to get the mud out of everything.
Everything.
And every crevice. I just ended up throwing it all out. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was but anyway, yeah. So I think that's it. Like, first of all, is just when something's not exciting, remember, it's your thoughts creating the excitement. It's not the running that has let you down. It's just that your thoughts are starting to change, right? And so doing, like, writing down all your thoughts and figuring out what you're thinking that's giving you a different feeling other than excitement is super powerful. And then also, you know, we are the ones, it's like a marriage, right? Like, your marriage isn't, like, we have to work to keep in love with our husband. Sometimes it doesn't just happen, like, out of nowhere, right? It's something that you work at on a daily basis. Some days you're like, I'm so in love with this person. And some days you are not so much. And you don't think anything's gone wrong when you have those days when, you know, you have a fight with your husband or something like that. So I think that's, like, a great analogy, is just to remember that if running is a relationship that you want to have for the rest of your life, sometimes you have to work to keep it exciting and interesting. And also, exciting is, like, that's an intense feeling to have all the time. Like, it's okay to not be excited and still want to do something.
I love that part of it. I mean, like, I definitely get the marriage thing. Before we even started this recording, I was bitching to, I had to, like, air it out that the king had let me down today. But it, you know, like, I'm not excited about my marriage today, but I will still go to bed with him tonight. You know, it's not like I'm going to give up on him after one, you know, shot. But the thing about it is, like you just said at the very end, it's the, you know, I want to say this, like, excitement is an intense feeling, and you need to think about, like, with your running relationship, you know, what are all the feelings you do want to have around it? Like, for me, one of the things that running has, like, I think about what I want it to teach me and what I want it to be in my life. Some of the feelings I like is I like to experience consistency. Like, I like to experience, you know, like, I do like to experience a little discomfort. And that does not mean that I'm going out and doing sprints. It means they're on the days when I really want to work, but I've scheduled to go into my hot little garage and do my little run, I show up anyway. So thinking about, like, your relationship with running or exercising, whatever it is, what more is it going to be to you? It doesn't have to just, like, I don't know. I have just always found it important in for my own just health, like, continuing to keep my weight off, whatever it may, like, just to be athletic, is I have to think about my exercise as more than just, is it going to keep me thin? Is it, you know, and sometimes, am I just training for a race? It's like, I like to think of things on a more, I guess, deeper level. Like, how is the relationship with running changing my life? Yeah. And I think that allows us to get more, it's almost like, well, it's hard enough to stay consistent with exercise, but you are more apt to when you find all the reasons, so that when one reason is just not good enough today, you have backup reasons in your pocket.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love that, having backup reasons, because we've always got backup plans for everything else in our life. So I think having them for running makes perfect sense. But something you just said really, I think I want to touch on it. So, like, how is running changing you? That's one thing that you want to get out of it. And I had a really interesting conversation with a client earlier today who, you know, she's contemplating starting to train for her first half marathon. She's not sure if she should do it. And what, you know, after a bit of conversation about it, she realized that she was afraid, like, she knew the person that she would have to become to do that half marathon, to be consistent. And she was afraid of what it would be like to be that person, afraid that she wouldn't be able to maintain being that person. Like, and I said, well, actually, it's like, you become that person through the act of training little by little by little. It's not like you snap your fingers and you have to become that person tomorrow. You sort of ease into it. Like, running changes you because, I mean, I think it changes your brain. It definitely changes your body. It changes so much about you if you allow yourself to ease into it and don't expect yourself to be perfect the first time out, right?
Yes.
And for me, running is, like, it's not about weight maintenance at all. Like, it's just not. It's like, it's my safe place for me. Like running is that place where I go, where I know that it's just me and my thoughts and I get to do whatever I want, get to think whatever I want when I'm running. Mm-hmm. It's like just this, it's almost like being in this sort of safe bubble. Like it's really funny. Like whether it's a shitty run or an amazing run, it's all mine. And like nobody else gets to have a say about it. It's very powerful.
I think one of the, because I started with walking, moved into running. And of course, you know me, I love lifting weights and stuff, but I have always kept running a part of like all the things I've ever done. I have always kept just what I just call basic runs in as a part of my weekly routine, because it is the one thing that I feel like if I don't want to have to think hard, like it is the one thing I can go and do. And just like, if I want to turn it off, I can turn it off. If I want, like, I think sometimes like when we start exercising and stuff, we think we have to have these complicated plans. We have to have all these things. It's like, you know, you can just go out 3 times a week for 30 minutes and just pick a route. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even have to be a complicated one. It can be around, like I used to live in this neighborhood where I literally would knew that if I ran 4 circles, it was 3 miles. And I would just loop it each time. And I didn't care that it was all the same. Like it just, it was, I just loved having something in my life that didn't have a lot of complication on it. Mm-hmm. Cause I think we all, a lot of us, I know a lot of my listeners have lives that are naturally complicated right now. And it's like, this could be the one place that you could start with that is physically challenging, but easy mentally for you. And in some aspects, you know, it just depends. It just, anyway, that's why I have always, I think now why I keep running in and I do like it is because it's just, I don't know. It's that little place. It's just like, gosh, when I don't want to think, I can go do this. Mm-hmm. I don't have to make it hard.
Yeah. It really is a form of meditation.
Yeah.
I think for sure. And you can, like, you can choose to make it be like turning your brain off, or you can choose to really go deep with your thoughts. You can, like, it's literally always there to be exactly what you need in that moment. And sometimes we think we need one thing and our bodies and our brains are like, you're going to go for a run. Actually, this is what you need today.
Right.
Right. And you might have, I mean, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's happened to me several times and it's happened to some of my clients. So you'll go out running and you'll just be like, la, 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 you know, happy as a clam. And then all of a sudden you're crying for no reason.
Yes.
I just think like running is a great way to release emotion that you might not even be realizing that you're holding on to.
Yeah. Cause like I have done, and I will say this too, cause I think people get really hung up in, I've noticed a lot of girls get really hung up in like, well, what are my exact intervals? So my entire run has to be this way. I have gone out and done like a mile and not stopped, and it felt great. Then at like 1.1, for some reason, my legs feel like the poop. And I'm just like, you know, I'm just going to walk the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. This is what I need today. That's what I love about running, is that it gets to be anything you want it to be on that day. Unless you're training for something super specific, I like to use it as a place to just be like, today is a day. My intervals are 2-2. Today is a day. I run 1, walk 4. Today is a day. Like I could go out and do a couple of miles and not even need an interval. I never know what it is. I try not to put a ton of expectations on my runs. Now, when you're first starting, you're going to be a little bit more planned than that, but those are the things you get to aspire to where, like, and I also love the way running has taught me to really listen to my body, listen to my mind and body. Cause I have had runs where I've gone out and I'm just like running along, feeling great. And my mind will start wandering and I will start thinking about something and processing. And then the next thing I'm ugly crying on the trail, and then I can't breathe and I'm walking it in because it's like, oxygen's required and I'm not getting much because I'm crying. But it's nice because sometimes we just need that like release. It's just I don't know. It's kind of the same thing as like Kathy. She's a yoga person. She does that in yoga all the time. She'll do a yoga class and they go into hip openers and she bawls the rest of the way through, you know? Yeah. So it's just, I think it's good. I think it allows us to, I think that discomfort in the body is like your body is working hard. It just starts bringing up the discomfort that's in your mind too, along with it. It's a nice way to kind of find your shit real quick if you want to. So
And the best part too, is that you don't have to run 2 miles without stopping to get those benefits. You can go out and run 15 second jog and like a 2 minute walk and like do that, whatever. Like it doesn't have to look a certain way for you to get all the mental benefits of it.
That's what I think what I really want to end on is for our girls to really understand that there's, I'm going to make a sweeping judgment here. I think when it comes to running that, it is very easy for us to fall into the trap that it has to look one way, that, you know, like, whatever Runner's World is saying or the latest online, like if you Google it, it's always, you know, complicated, looks like math bullshit and all this other kind of junk. It does not have to be that way. It gets to be whatever you want it. And do not let some like fucker who's written an article somewhere on the internet convince you that because you run 15 seconds or 1 minute or whatever it may be and put in walking, that somehow you're not a runner. It's like you are. Yeah. You get to define yourself any way you want. And I would always err on the side of defining myself the way that makes me feel the proudest and is going to keep me motivated and keep me moving forward and, you know, building your momentum.
Right. Right. I completely agree with that. Cause I just think like there's no other way. There really is no other way. Like you can beat yourself into, you know, you can beat yourself up about it. It doesn't move you forward. It doesn't get you the result you want. So like just try a different way.
It's just
be open to trying it a different way. And it's just can be life-changing for sure.
Well, tell our girls about, so you have a membership site, just like I have a membership site. So tell everybody like how they can get in touch with you, what your membership site's about, and how you can help them.
Okay. So I do have a membership site where people can work with me live once a week. We have coaching calls once a week, and it's basically like office hours. You just bring me your running problems. You bring me your training issues, whatever.
Bring me your running problems.
Bring it to me. And I will answer questions. I do it live over Zoom once a week. And then I also, I bring amazing people into that group like yourself.
Thank you.
Like tonight. I bring amazing people into the group to also like teach different perspectives or teach additional skills and so forth. So that program is called Run Your Best Life because it's not just running. It is also like running to change your life. So that you can find at runyourbestlife.com. It is a pretty amazing group of women right now, all levels, women who have never run before and women who are training for marathons and then everything in between.
Oh, wow.
So that's a great place. If you want to coach with me, if you want to work with me, that's a great place to do it. If you're not quite sure about this running thing yet and you're like, I would, you can go over to my website, which is notyouraveragerunner.com. And there's a free 6-week beginner plan there that you can download, get started. And what happens is you sign up for that. And then I email you every few days and say, hey, how's it going?
Right.
Help you through it. And then there's also a Facebook group that you can join called the Not Your Average Runner podcast community. It's sort of a companion group, very similar to what the PMP groupies have with your podcast. I have a very similar Facebook group for my podcast. And so finally, everybody should listen to my podcast because it's amazing.
Exactly.
It's the Not Your Average Runner podcast. And I talk about running. I talk about life. I talk about how to work on your inner mean girl and keep her from, you know, I say kick your inner mean girl to the curb is one of my favorite sayings so that you can just get out there and run. So that's how you can find me.
She also has a great Instagram account. I follow her on Instagram and I love your pictures and stuff. And you're like always with your coffee, doing a little chat and just anyway, how can they find you on the IG?
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting that. So Instagram, Not Your Average Runner. And then you can also find my Facebook page, which is Not Your Average Runner. There's a theme. It's all that.
Yeah. Well, I would like girls. So all of you who are listening to this podcast, you know me, I love my free course. I think you like, if you don't do anything, always take advantage of free, good resources. So get on her mailing list, get that free course. That way you'll at least know if this is what you want to do. And then you can like look into all the other stuff too. I just, Like, I know my podcast listeners have done amazing since we started that free Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Same thing here. Like, if you want to find other women just like you who are running and stuff, take advantage of these things and you'll get, you know, expert advice from experts who are, you know, giving back to women and making sure that women are empowered and that we do not have to let our weight define the things we're going to do in our life now. So, well, thank you, Jill. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
See your girls tonight in your membership. And my girl got you last month talking about how to find a good bra for running.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love the bras. I ran in my bra yesterday too because it was motherfucking hot outside. And I was like, I'm sweating and sweating. And as my boyfriend and I were out running on this trail, and I was like, I'm so hot. And I was like, oh, that's right, I can take my shirt off. And so I did. And it was amazing. And I was still
air conditioned.
Yes. So fun. So.
All right. Well, you have a good one. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Talk to y'all later, guys. See you next week.